Welcome to this week's edition of the High School Spodcasters. I'm Scott Titrington, High School Sports Editor here at the Journal World. After a few weeks of talking just strictly basketball, we're going to change things up a little bit this week. Finally got an interview guest in here, our first guest of the winter season. Want to welcome in Julian Spangler, a breaststroker from the Free State High Swimming Team. Julian, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
No problem.
I'm going to go ahead and turn the time over to Eric Sorrentino, our Free State beat writer, so we can find out a little bit more about what's going on with the Firebirds. Eric?
All right, Scott. Thanks a lot. Well, Julian, we've mentioned a couple of things after your meets this year so far, but one thing that I'd like to tell everybody is Julian's already qualified for state in a couple of events, the medley team as well. But just go over some of the events that you've already qualified for state in this year.
The first one would be just in the I'll go in the order of events, but okay. 200 medley we qualified. I think the first meet back with the Aquahawks, and so that was pretty nice because we got under by like 5 seconds or something, mm-hmm. and we were struggling before. And then before we got into winter training, our last meet before Christmas, we qualified the 200 free relay, right. And so that was a good qualification. And then I think a couple meets before that, I qualified the 100 breast on my own at like an invitational, place like 6th or something.
Right. Now, speaking of that, you mentioned that the 100 breast is in fact your favorite event.
Yeah.
What makes it such a special event for you?
I'd have to say that all my friends get down at the end of the lane, and so when mm-hmm. you're turning or when you're going towards them, you can actually hear them and see them. And I mean, you can't always see them because it's not good technique, but
right.
you can usually hear them or at least get some of the feel from their yelling, and it really helps you out.
Just, that added motivation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
There you go. Now, Julian, in the last meet that you guys actually won last week at your home meet there, in the 100 breast, you placed 3rd, of course, a very, very nice finish. But your teammate, Mitch Moore, placing 1st. So I have to ask, if you line both of you guys up right now, who do you think would win that event?
Oh, definitely Mitch. He's he's a short, small guy with lots of muscles, and he can just sprint like nothing because he won the 50 freestyle by over a second. And I mean, in the 50 free, that's a good margin to win.
Sure. Now, speaking of Mitch, he, along with Chase Torgerson and Cameron Case, just recently joined your team from the Aquahawks, and they weren't with you prior to the holidays. So how big was that addition with all of them coming in?
Oh, it's huge because because the way we're splitting up most of the higher level swimmers mm-hmm. is we're doing 2 individuals and 2 relays, and that's you can either do that or 1 individual and 3 relays.
Okay.
And so we're doing the 2 individuals and 2 relays, and so that pretty much means top 3 finishes in any other events.
Sure.
And so that really helps out with 16 points, I think, is the first place finish. So having each person do like 32 points just on their own, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah. And speaking of that as well, with Mitch coming in, I mean, because in the first meet that I saw you guys in earlier, your first home meet, you actually won the 100 breast. So with Mitch coming in and kind of that added competition among teammates, I mean, do you think that that's pretty good for your team at this point?
Oh, yeah. I definitely think to help push our team to mm-hmm. be better, I think it really helps having more competition and something to look up to and having someone there that's faster and that can also help you. So
sure, absolutely. Now, Julian, wanted to ask you about something that in the first meet that I covered, you guys had an incident with your mom kind of notifying you that you were kind of late for an event, and she actually helped out. Can you just explain? I thought that was just a hilarious kind of event there. So what happened there at that
meet? Well, it was because sometimes when you have heats, you only get like 2 swimmers in them, and a couple of people are scratch or either, and that's dropping out. And so then they combine heats, and so it's just 1 heat, and so they'll say they're starting on the 2nd heat, but I don't think they announced it either.
Yeah, it was a really quick transition. I remember that as well.
Or I don't remember it, and so I was just sitting there with the cap on. You can't hear much. And so my mom yelled at me. I just jumped up on the blocks, and they said, take your mark, and I just went.
And you actually ended up winning that event, right, after that.
Yeah,
I mean, what a turn of events. You got to have a quick mind, I guess, in swimming, right?
Yeah.
So what's it like, I mean, coming in for and competing for Coach Annette McDonald? What have you learned from Coach this year? What's it like swimming for her?
Be patient. That's one of the things. But it's just – it's always hard when you switch with coaches because they always have different expectations out of you and different types of training and how mm-hmm. they think is the best. And so, I mean, you just got to adapt really and just get used to the style of coaching. Other than that, it's really just – training and just pounding out the yards.
Yeah, sure. And how long, Julian, I mean, in general, how long have you been swimming for?
I've swam in the high school for 3 years, and then I've swam Aquahawks for about two now.
Okay.
And then I swam back when I was like fourth, fifth grade, I swam Aquahawks during the summers.
Okay, and you've been with Free State all year, so do you compete with the Aquahawks in the off season? Is that with?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I can, because I had the choice, but since you wanted me to be team captains.
Okay.
Team captain, I really. She wanted me to be with the team the whole time, and so yeah. I said that'd be all right. And that is. I came early.
That is understandable. Just in general, in the sport of swimming, what got you started on being a swimmer?
Well, everyone always, my mom, it was actually my mom's doing because she bribed me $50 to do swimming.
Okay. You know, sometimes you got to just,
yeah,
you know.
She'd always watch the Olympics and be like, you'd probably be good at that. And so she paid me and I went out sophomore year.
We better hope nobody from the KSHA hears any of this, some type of violation or something like that.
That's right. Well, it's all in the family, so, you know.
That's true.
You know, that's a good point there, Scott. well, the final thing I had, Julian, is one of the things that Coach McDonald mentioned is that in the last meet, it was really nice. You guys won the event by more than 100 points, obviously, so had quite the showing. Washburn Roll with the second place finish, and they actually finished higher than you guys in an earlier meet in the year. So what did she tell you, like, guys, in that week in practice and before the meet? I mean, what was it like to kind of get a revenge, if you will, on a team that previously beat you in the season?
I mean, we don't really do a whole lot of, like, getting pumped up for meets. We just sort of focus on how we want to swim and how you're feeling, because if you're sore, you want to take it a little bit easier and stretch it out. But if you're feeling pretty good, you want to go fast, but you don't want to go too fast and, like, and leave it all at practice. But so, and she's very good at creating the entries. She's very good at spreading all our swimmers out so we get the most points overall. Like for tomorrow's meet, I'm swimming the 200 free, and like the last meet I swam the 200 IM, and I'll probably place top five, but it's just not something I normally swim, but I'll get more points than I would placing second behind one of our swimmers or third or fourth or something in another event.
And you mentioned that you hadn't swam the 200 before, have you? Right before that last meet?
Yeah, I haven't swam the 200
previous year. So she's been juggling the lineup a little bit, kind of seeing what works the best. That's interesting.
And she,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing, like, how many points she can squeeze out of everyone, really placing everyone. And
now, I know when it comes to swimming, the general audience probably isn't as aware of who's good and who's not as, say, maybe in football or basketball or sports like that, where there's a lot more exposure. So how do you guys stack up this year? Do you guys have a team that is going to be in the mix in the postseason? I know last year was a little bit more of a down year as far as that perspective, but just from your perspective, where do you guys shake out in that? Are you guys a team that are going to make some noise at state, or?
I definitely think we'll make noise at state in the relays and probably our overall finish. I think we're definitely trying top five, but I mean, if not, I think we'll place under top seven or something. But we have some Chase will do really well in the backstroke, and Cameron will do really well in the IM because he's a quick little kid. And Mitch is really up there in the breaststroke too, because I think last year's top person in the 100 breast was like a 59 high. And so I think overall we don't have that many. We have those three swimmers, and I've already qualified, but, I mean, my goal is just to stay, like, top 15 or something, or at least be in the consolation heat. But I think we can really probably stack up with our relays because we have a combination of we don't have like one really fast person. We have a combination of some really fast people, and it all works out that our strokes, especially in the medley, that we all swim our favorite stroke and the one we're fastest at. And so I think we're going to try at least top three in all our relays.
All righty. Well, Eric, anything else you want to address?
I think that's good. Julian, we appreciate you coming in this evening.
No problem.
And again, you mentioned tomorrow's meet, just for those of you who are checking this out. The meet will actually be today as you're listening to this, as this comes out on Tuesday morning. So just keep an eye on the schedule, see when Free State's in action. Julian, thank you very much for joining us, and good luck the rest of the year.
Thank you.
Again, we want to thank Julian McDonald for coming in. Excuse me. I just got two people combined together. Julian Spangler for coming in, and for Coach McDonald for making him available to us. Now we're going to switch gears, talk a little high school basketball. Again, I'm joined by Eric Sorrentino, who didn't get to give us his usual witty introduction. So, Eric, what do you have to say for yourself?
Scott, thanks a lot. You know, with Ryan Murphy and Michael Reuter making the Shrine Bowl, along with Nathan Padilla from LHS, I mean, there's two from Free State and one from LHS. So I'm thinking to even it out, they should have Jeff Fedotin, you know, put on the cleats and even it out for LHS. I don't know.
It's probably a good thing they don't.
That'd be Jeff Fedotin chiming in, our Lawrence High beat writer. Jeff, welcome.
Thank you, Scott. And Julian Spangler just said how his mother paid him $50 to get started in swimming. Well, in a slightly different twist, in high school, the high school swim coach paid me $50 if I would not go out for swimming. So that might answer your question about whether I should be in the Shrine Bowl or not.
Well, there we go. All righty. Well, now that we've all recounted our own academic misadventures, let's go ahead and talk about, for lack of a better way of saying it, the misadventures of our city basketball teams this last week. Unfortunately, most of them only got one crack on the court, the Lawrence High girls being the exception, because they actually played on Thursday before the storms came in. However, a rough week around the city, as Lawrence's girls won their first game last week against Shawnee Mission East on Monday. And other than that, it was a blank slate. Everybody else kind of fell a little bit short. So I'm just going to throw out to both of you just that question right there. What happened this last week that all these teams that were off to pretty decent starts all of a sudden managed to come up on the short end on the same nights?
Well, I mean, first off, it is a little bit unfortunate, especially with when you look at the Free State girls, a very close matchup, a 42-40 loss to Olathe East. I think that was last Tuesday because they got their Friday game canceled due to the inclement weather. With that said, this was a game that just went back and forth. I think there were like four or five lead changes just in the fourth quarter alone. I mean, this was a back and forth battle and a really close game. It was a bit disappointing for the Free State girls. They said they weren't really as aggressive as on offense as they were typically. Of course, playing away, not in the comfort of their own gym, might have been a factor. I mean, for Free State to score, eight in the second quarter, six in the third, I mean, that's not what we're used to from Brian Duncan's squad, who can just put up points with anybody. So that was a bit surprising. And then, the Free State guys as well, also a close game, 52-49. I mean, very close battles, but, they just kind of fell short a little bit. So I think the headline before last week was Olathe owned, and now they come in and draw goose eggs. So,
yeah, I guess the city schools found the right Olathe because they went back over there again and didn't have as much success.
I guess they
success.
Both win and lose on the same weeks. I don't know. So,
Jeff, how about from the Lawrence High perspective? I mean, I know you look at the schedule, and on the boys' side, Shawnee Mission East, that's obviously a very tough matchup. The girls then got a chance to play Olathe South, again, a tough matchup. So it might not necessarily be games that we were expecting to fall the opposite way.
Exactly. I think that's the main reason why Lawrence High seemingly suffered a setback. It's just a very strong Shawnee Mission East team. They haven't lost yet this year. They have a 6'6 post player who's very strong. Bobby Miller, who we remember from the football days, who's likely playing college football at Colorado State. Obviously a very good athlete, and burned him with 20 points. So I think it's more of a case, yes, Lawrence High lost soundly, getting the defeat was by a 53-33 margin. I think it's more of the case that Shawnee Mission East, just has a very high talent level.
That would have been interesting as well. I mean, Free State was slated to play, Shawnee Mission East, of course, which, is second in the state of Kansas right now. So this is a pretty good ball club. I haven't seen them, like Jeff said, but apparently they have a potent 1-2-3 punch with you take Miller away and then somebody else beats you from speaking to Coach Chuck Law and what he saw in film. So would have been interesting to see, and I don't think any date has been rescheduled quite yet for that.
So. Yeah, and in fact, if I'm Coach Law and Coach Davis, who both had the Olathe South and Shawnee Mission East games, I'm not in a rush to reschedule those, to be honest. Those are two very tough teams in the Sunflower
League. What I'd be looking for is that time when you're playing really well, when everything's coming together, and then say, hey, what are you thinking about 2 days? Let's go at it. Eric, I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot here based on the column that I wrote that appeared in today's paper.
Right.
Basically, I touched on a few different items, but what I started off with was talking about the Free State girls.
Okay.
And my perspective being this, we have not seen anything out of this team yet to validate them being ranked in the top five in the state. And I know that sounds harsh, and as I explained in the column, there's no bigger advocate for the Firebirds than myself. I've said it on here in multiple podcasts. I've said it in print. They're the best. When you look at what they're going against collectively, they're pound for pound the best city basketball team we have, in my opinion. That said, you look at their schedule, and they're 6-2, but all six victories have come against teams that they should beat.
Mm-hmm.
Olathe North, arguably the worst 6A team in the state. They were definitely the worst 6A team in the state last year when I saw them.
They didn't win a game all of last
year.
So.
Two victories over Class 5A schools in the Bonner Springs Invitational. They beat both Lansing and Topeka Seaman. But both times when Free State has played a team this year, when they could go out, and the word I use in my column, validate what everybody's been saying about them, they've lost. They lose to Junction City. They lose to Olathe East. And these are both programs that at the time were ranked below Free State. So I'm going to put you on the spot here because you're the one who covers them all the time. But am I wrong? Don't they have to come out and get a marquee win so people can say this is why they belong in the top 10 as opposed to just going off the reputation last year's state run?
I absolutely agree with you, Scott. And I'm actually reminded of the Free State football team in a sense when they went to the playoffs and played Shawnee Mission East, and they were kind of conservative a little bit but just kind of coasted along. I haven't seen the will from the Free State girls because I honestly think that they have it to put teams away.
Right.
And I think that I remember you mentioning it and in the football game against Shawnee Mission East saying, why don't they be more aggressive in their play calling? Well, and here against Olathe East, I honestly didn't see the same aggressive team that I have seen from the Free State girls in its victories earlier in the year. And for that, I mean, you look at it, nobody even scored in double figures against Olathe East, and you know, you can't really have that.
That's what really sticks out to me. You look here at the scores, and I've got a list of all Free State's games this year. Here's the point totals in the victory. 54 against Mays, 59 against Lansing, 48 against Seaman, 51 Topeka High, 59 Lawrence High, 68 Olathe North. Those are the numbers we're expecting when you've got three seniors the caliber of Jenna Brantley, Kelsey Harrison, Lauren Kimball. Then you look at the two losses, 44-39. They don't even break the 40-point barrier. Right. 42-40. What is it about going up against good teams that they just shut down offensively? Because those are that's a big disparity. I didn't figure out the exact number, but if you took the average points in the six wins and the average in those two losses, it's at least a 15-point difference.
And it's really interesting because in terms of an answer for that, you would think that maybe because they're not so aggressive, oh, maybe you look at the turnovers. But really, when you look at it, they only had 14 turnovers as compared to Olathe East's 19, so it's not that. What is it then? I mean, earlier in the year, we said if those three can put up, you know, double digits, they might never lose. And so far, that formula has held in check.
Well, nobody's, like you said the other night, nobody scores in double
nobody
figures.
Nobody scored in double figures. Right. So there you go. Maybe that's an aspect of it. And I think really just from being there, one thing that I also noticed is they seemed, in terms of guard play, we talked how critical it is for guards for the Free State girls. I thought that it was evident that Brantley and Kimball, who usually lead the team and still did lead the team obviously last week, but Jenna didn't score in the first half. Granted, had 9 in the second half, but was really shut down in that first half. So then you're putting Kimball in situations where she's not really primarily a scorer, and she had to shoot a little bit more than she usually does from the outside, not her strength. So without Jenna, it was tough for them to score in that first half. So.
Yeah, I just like I said, I'm not trying to be, Mr. Negativity, but
oh, sure.
You look at the poll every week, and the new poll comes out after this taping on Monday night, so we won't know exactly where they're at when this actually is broadcast on Tuesday morning, but they lost to another team in the top 10, so you got to figure they're good. As far as the Kansas Basketball Coaches Association poll, which is the one everyone seems to put the most stock in, they're probably still going to be in the top 10, and I just look at who they've beat, and I go, where is it justified? And right. like I said, I'm not trying to be negative, but I think at some point they've got to come out and play somebody who is on par with them or maybe even a little bit better, or even if not on par, is somebody that's considered to be one of the top teams in the state, and they've got to beat them.
And actually, I think that they'll have a great opportunity to do that in a week from now when they host the Firebird Classic. I think Junction City's coming back, so maybe if they get in a little rematch with them, maybe justify themselves in that. And I think Athletic Director Steve Grant mentioned that there have three undefeated teams that are coming into that Classic as of last week. That might be changed now, but that Classic might be a really, really interesting kind of way to know, is this team going to be for real?
And maybe even before that, January 19th, which will be exactly. Friday. This week's game, Friday, they will be playing Olathe South. South.
Yeah, very good
also
point.
another talented team. Mm-hmm. So might be a good time for them to make a little bit of noise. All right, I'll get off my soapbox now. Let's let's kind of look ahead at the schedule. We mentioned that game for the Free State girls. Also, the Free State boys will be in action on Friday. They'll both host Olathe South. That'll be that 5:37 doubleheader. Meanwhile, Lawrence High gets their tournament play started this week. Let's start with that, Jeff. I know they go over the Topeka Invitational. It's a big field every year of eight quality teams that are involved, typically four schools from Topeka, four schools from outside the area. I know they open up against the Topeka Seaman team, who's actually the host of the tournament this year. So on one hand, Lawrence has to play on a home floor right off the bat. On the other hand, if you look at records and things like that, it looks like Lawrence is basically the number two seed of the four teams from outside the city of Topeka that are playing in this. So kind of break down where Lawrence High is heading into this and what their chances are.
Sure. Yeah, I'm actually, for that first game, Lawrence High, Seaman is 3-4, and so that's a game they really should win, and I think they will win. So confident I am that I'm actually making my lock of the week.
An early lock of the week.
But then if you get farther into the tournament, there's some teams. Highland Park, I don't know much about, but they are 7-0, so they should be a tough team. Wichita East, a very big school in Wichita with a large population to draw from. They're 6-1. Potentially down the line, that could also be a tough matchup. But mostly what I'm interested to see is the Blue Valley Shootout. They really underperformed, in my opinion. They lost to Lee Summit North, and they played them tough. That made sense, a tough loss. But they also lost to Pembroke Hill, which is a 2A team, and was a bad loss. And so they ended up going 1-2 in the shootout. So I want to see how this team responds to a tournament atmosphere, and if they can against a tournament that I think is actually going to feature better competition than the Blue Valley Shootout did.
Now, I know last year in this same tournament, they went 1-2, and it really kind of exposed some weaknesses for them. We knew they were going to be a run-and-gun team, and that was going to be the key. But it exposed some weaknesses when they would, early in the game, start missing shots. They'd fall way behind, have to play from behind, things like that. So while that was kind of a learning experience, how much of a learning experience is this week going to be again for them as they try to, solidify this new style of play, this emphasis on getting the ball in the post and things like that? I would think they're getting in the point of the season where they know what they're doing now. They've really now got to make it translate.
Exactly. It's getting to the point of the season where you can't say, oh, we have a new offensive system. It's too late in the season for that. And I think they are getting it. I don't want to knock them for that. But, it is going to be interesting to see if they perform like last year. This is also key because they were really chugging along pretty well. They were 5-2, and then again they lost by 20 points to Shawnee Mission East, and the margin almost doesn't do it justice because it was so low scoring. They scored 3 points on just one field goal in the first half. Now they've had more than a week off, almost 2 weeks off before playing in the Topeka Invite. So I'm curious to see how they bounce back from a tough loss and from a long layoff.
Now, what time is that game on Thursday, the opening game?
The opening game is 6:45 p.m.
6:45 p.m. against Seaman. Like we said, they're the host. For those of you who aren't familiar with where Topeka Seaman is, it's on the north side of town. You might want to get on MapQuest or get out your atlas and find it, because I'm not about to give you directions via this, because sure enough, I'll screw something up and everyone will be driving to Emporia or something. Along that line, down near Emporia, actually a little bit further away, closer to Wichita, is where the Free State High boys will be. They're also in tournament action here as we go through tournament week on the boys' side.
Nice segue, by the way, Scott, from
I try.
Very impressive.
Occasionally, the writing skills actually translate and come out the mouth. But anyways, Free State's boys will be at the McPherson Invitational. They also played down there last year. They, like Lawrence High, come in off a loss, albeit a much closer game, a, a, a 52-49 loss to Olathe East, and also with a pretty substantial layoff with Friday's game against Shawnee Mission East postponed. So, Eric, just talk about where the Firebirds stand going into this tournament. I know they're at 4-4, 500 mark on the season. What do they look to accomplish this weekend?
And actually, Scott, that 4-4 record is a perfect – it paints a perfect picture of where they are, because they have looked great at times and they have looked not so great at times. So that is a really – and Coach Law will be the first to admit, this could be a very good basketball team. I mean, but they've just been very inconsistent all year. And I think that the one thing that I've noticed as the year has gone on, as we mentioned a lot about Chris Wilson at the beginning of the year, we mentioned that – in fact, in one podcast, we mentioned that he looked like the best player in the city of Lawrence. I think that's changed, actually. I think now you're slowly starting to see the development of Free State's post-play, namely Weston Wiebe and Christian Ballard really carrying this team. Weston Wiebe, I think, has established himself as the best player on this team at this point in the season right now. He's really carried him, 19 points against Olathe East, and they've really gotten focused on the post-game lately. So I think in this game, they just got to keep feeding the post, keep feeding that inside post, And when they want to play good defense, they have some scrappy guards. Nick Devin, Chris Wilson, there are some scrappy guys. Kyle Schreiner, who can really get after it on defense. So if they combine that on the defensive end and then maybe, you know, just keep feeding those beasts in the posts, I think that hopefully they'll get the results they're looking for.
Now, we don't have a bracket here in front of us. Mm-hmm. Are you aware of who Free State opens up with?
Well, actually, on Friday, I think, don't they have Olathe South as well? Oh, it's the McPherson Invitational on Friday, right?
Right.
Okay, no, I don't have a bracket in front of me. But I don't know who they play that first.
Well, son, this happens. We apologize to you listening out there, but sometimes, especially these out of the way tournaments, we're not exactly sure who's going to even be there. But as the week goes along, we encourage you to check out the Journal World, both online and in print, and we'll have those matchups for you and have a complete tournament bracket. But it'll be a Thursday, Friday, Saturday field, just the same way that Lawrence High will be at the Topeka Invite. Rounding out what's happening with the boys this week, Seabury boys will be back in action. They likewise had a game postponed last week against Kansas City Barstow, and they will be back in action. They're over at the West Franklin Invite, and they actually played Monday night against Williamsburg, and that result will be in this morning's paper. They'll also be playing tonight against Pomona. And then they'll play on Saturday against Central Heights. It's kind of a round-robin tournament where every opponent is predetermined. But anyways, it'll be interesting to see how the Seabury boys fare. This is another topic I touched on a little bit in my column today. I think if you're going to point out the best coaching job or best coaching happening that's happened in the area so far, I'm giving it to Matthew Downing Jr. His team comes out the first three games and quite honestly just looks like the Seabury that we've unfortunately become accustomed to. A lot of young kids, a lot of kids who aren't comfortable playing together, don't have a lot of basketball experience, and they come out and they struggle to score. The highest point total in any of the three games is 33 points. All of a sudden, they go on the Christmas break, and they come back, and their first two games, they throw 65 on the board against Flint Hills Christian to get the first win for Downing as the Seahawks coach. And then they put up a respectable effort against an Olathe Christian squad, falling 63-50. So it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back. They're sitting at 1-4 right now, a little down as far as the number of games they've got to play because of that game getting postponed against Barstow. But I imagine Seabury will find out a lot about how much it's grown as they play three times this week. Finally, rounding out the boys' side of things, the Veritas Christian will also be playing in a tournament this week. They start today the 16th against Elwood at the Elwood Invitational in a 5:30 tip, and then they will play to be determined on both Thursday and Saturday. So they've got one of those tournaments where, you know, how you fare determines who you're going to play. And it'll be interesting to see what Veritas is able to come up with. Off to a 1-9 start, obviously not something that we typically see out of Veritas. They've been pretty successful across the board in all our sports that we've covered them in the last few years, but obviously going through some growing pains. Do you guys have any comments you want to share about either Seabury or Veritas based on what you've seen out of them so far to this point? And feel free to disagree with me if you think my coaching nod is wrong, because I say right in my column, a close second is what Chris Davis has done at Lawrence High. Nothing should be taken away from being able to switch offenses the way they have. I mean, you're talking polar opposites in what they've done there. But I just think what Downing was able to do in those kids and get them to believe and double their offensive output in the course of 2 weeks is a pretty big move.
And with Veritas as well, it is a bit surprising. You mentioned the 1-9 mark. We talked about it last week. You know, maybe Coach Bennett obviously has a rather young team. I think they lost so much last year that we talked about that it's going to be a rebuilding year, obviously, for them. And they obviously haven't turned the corner yet, so it's a little unfortunate to hear about.
As far as Seabury, I just want to give some future pub to next week. I'll be doing a Q&A with Coach Downing, and I'm actually very curious to see sort of how much of this system, how much he's used from he played at Maryland under Gary Williams, how much is from that. He was also played at Atchison himself, and his father was a noted local coach. So I sort of want to see where he's pulling all his schemes from and sort of what he thinks has improved the squad.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to hear kind of straight from the horse's mouth how things are faring out there and how he feels about the way the direction the program is going. All right, let's switch real quick to the girls. As far as the two big city schools, as we mentioned, they have to wait a week to get involved in their tournament play. So Friday night, Olathe South for Free State, that'll be on the Firebirds home floor at 7 p.m. And Lawrence High girls are actually off this week. They really, you talk about your long layoffs, their game gets postponed last week against Kansas City Turner, and now they don't get into action again until next Monday against Kansas City Lincoln Prep. So let's start first with that Free State girls game, Eric, and how important is it for them with only one game this week to get back on the winning track and, again, play a team that's of high caliber and prove that they can knock off that level of opponent?
Oh, extremely important, especially on their home floor. I mean, what worse could happen, to come in top five in the state of Kansas and then have nothing into Olathe South, but just, not become victorious on your home floor. They want to defend their home floor, that's for sure. So, and especially before a tournament like we mentioned next week, they definitely want to get off back to their winning ways before such a field. So it should be very important.
And Jeff, I know you got a chance to go out to Lawrence High's practice yesterday, sitting around waiting to take a photo of Danielle Bird for our Preps Plus page today. Did you get a chance to talk with Coach Mallory at all about layoffs and what type of things they do this week to kind of stay sharp?
You know, I spent most of the time just sort of observing practice, and you mentioned the Bird sister spent plenty of time running the stairs, I think.
That'll happen when you're late. Doesn't matter if your team stopped two leading scores.
There is a silver lining to the layoff in the sense that Tania Jackson missed practice. She had been bothered by an ankle early in the season. Now it was a knee injury. Didn't look too serious. You know, it's not like a torn ligament or something. But she is – they've been looking for a post-presence all year long. So she's very integral to that team. This might come at a fortunate time, allow her to get back healthy and have a full squad by the time they return to action.
All righty, and then looking at the smaller schools, they actually are in tournament play this week. The Seabury girls, much like the Seabury boys, will be over at the West Franklin Invite. Basically the same schedule. They played Monday night against Williamsburg. And again, check out the Journal World print edition for that final. And then they play tonight against Central Heights and on Thursday against Pomona. Seabury girls, 1-4, got to find a way to generate some offense, struggling to put points on the board, kind of the same MO that they've had for a few years now. And then the Veritas Christian girls will be in action at the Elwood Invite, just like the boys are. They play tonight against St. Joseph, Missouri Christian. And then they're to be determined as far as who they're going to be playing on Thursday and Saturday. Obviously, the player you're going to look for there is Christy Tigreen, the subject of Eric Sorrentino's Q&A in today's Preps Plus section. Gentlemen, just final thoughts on the boys, the girls, anything else that's going on?
Oh, well, we do have a stat of the week today, and that stat is 2, and it illustrates the inconsistencies that the Free State High boys have suffered this season. They held Olathe East to 2 points in the third quarter, so we were talking about their defense earlier. This is a tenacious defense, and they can get after it when they want.
Not to be confused with Tenacious Jack Black's band.
Jack Black, I doubt he's listening, but yeah, that's a nice pun right there. But, you know, you look at 2 in the third, and then Olathe East comes out and scores 20 in the fourth. So, I mean, if they just have been inconsistent this year, but have the potential to really shut down teams.
Well, there you go. Stat of the week. Fedot already gave us his lock of the week, which, if it holds true, means Lawrence High will be in the winner's bracket come Friday. So that would be a step in the right direction after an opening round loss to Topeka High last year in this tournament. So be interesting to see how everything shakes out. Well, again, we know it's a lot of information, a lot of basketball games coming up this week, a lot for you to get out there and check out. So just make sure you check in at the Journal World, either the website or the print edition, to keep up to date with who's playing who and where and when and all that good kind of stuff. And keep an eye out for the other sports that are going on. Got a lot of wrestling tournaments in action over the weekend. Bowling is back in business. They got postponed. Their big tournament that they were supposed to have this weekend over at Free State got postponed again with the weather, but they'll be in action. And I'm sure as we get along a little bit deeper in the season here, we'll get some bowlers in here to talk about what they do. We'll get some wrestlers, and we'll just keep on bringing you interview guests so you don't have to listen just to the three of us spew a lot of hot air every day. But anyways, that's all for now. We want to thank Julian Spangler from the Free State High Swimming Team again for coming in, and we look forward to talking to you again next week.